Very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Thursday morning. It's a Thursday morning. It's 11th of the month of June. And good morning. And thanks for joining us this morning. And it's a pleasure having you in our company. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So thank you, David, for handing over the mic, especially to this side of the world. You know, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and we will be live and until the hour of 10 o'clock when we'll be also going back to the capital, handing over the mic to Okamati Kokandonga, Tate France. So how can we say that the France go Kamatiko Kandong? So yeah, to France, at around, 10 o'clock. So good morning. My name is Mike, Oshoveni, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics and politic. And every weekday we come here, we cut through the noise, to make sense of the big stories. Trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of a bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. So welcome. So today, as usual, we normally have we go back into history and looking at what happened on this day in Africa. Today we have nothing much significant that happened on this day in Africa. So we just quickly look at what our thought for the day today. So what is our thought for the day this morning? So there's a saying that goes, a false friend is like a shadow. You know, they stay close when the sun is shining. But disappear when the things get dark. You know, so there's a saying that goes, a false friend is like a shadow. They stay close when the sun is shining, but disappear when things get dark. So, and that speaks to a hard truth about people. You know, some relationship only hold up when life is good. You know, when there's success, you know, comfort, or something to gain. But the moment things change, so does their presence. You know, once the things change, so does their presence. So that's why real relationship is not tested in, as they say it, real relationship is not tested in bright days, but in difficult notes, you know, in difficult ones. So not in celebration also, but in struggle. That's how you test a real relationship. So today, maybe the question is very simple. Who stand with you when life is not easy? And who stand with you when the life is not easy? And who only show up when it is? Yeah? So because shadows don't last when the light fades. So once the light fades, the shadows actually don't last. And neither do shallow connections as well. So that's our thought for the day today. So good morning to you. And welcome. So welcome. And thanks for joining us at this point. All right. 8:07 is our time. And what do we have for you? What are we talking about this morning? You know, it's something that David have started already. So we will be looking at today is, it's, the, FIFA World Cup. I mean, yeah, the FIFA World Cup is kicking off this evening, and we have South Africa actually in action. We have South Africa actually in action with Mexico. So that kicking off our time probably around nine, isn't it? Yeah. So it's actually terrible. America, it's a world, the World Cup should never go to America because the time difference is horrible. You know, you can't wake up in the morning hours, like at 3 or 2 or, you know, or the match is starting at 12 o'clock. And what time are you going to be able to go to wake up and go to work? So the World Cup should never, because it's not only us who are going to be suffer. Even Europe will definitely suffer by the time difference. I think that has to change. So now what we're looking at, you know, what we're looking at is that while Africa really celebrate, at this time we're celebrating, Africa is celebrating the largest ever representation at the World Cup. About 10 teams that are there. Now, the continent full footballing success is increasingly driven by, you know, when you look at the squad, the African teams, it's increasingly driven by diaspora players born abroad, you know. The players, many of them that are in this squad are actually born from outside. Now, this is now raising a discussion in Africa or an urgent questions about who truly benefit from Africa talent export economy, this talent export economy. Who benefits, really? So that's what we're going to look at. So that's what we're going to focus this morning on Unpacking the Day. So, if we have time, Namibia is set to modernize its tax administration system by transitioning from an informal tribunal to a fully fledged tax court. The minister actually have tabled that, will be able to table that bill, I think, in parliament. So, and that will be, the tax court will then ensure specialized judicial oversight for both taxpayers and the Namibian Revenue Agency, NAMRA. So, yeah, that's something that we need to look at also because, yeah, this is something that, worth engaging today as well. So if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. So, well, and you know what? Your participation always is part of the show. Okay. So let's punk it. Let's unpack this together. So after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And I'm Marco Savelli. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And today we are talking football. We are talking football. If you're football lovers, please, you know, tune on the volume. All right. But this is not about just about football. We're not going to talk about players and things like that. You know, or tactics or anything of that sort. No, we talk about money. You know what I always said? Follow the money, eh? Follow the mullah, okay? So that's what we're gonna talk about. So the 2026 FIFA World Cup is finally here. It's here, taking place across the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and tonight South Africa. Bafana, you know, begin their campaign against the co-host, Mexico. Now, you know, should we actually support Bafana? Eh? If they are actually chasing, if they are actually chasing undocumented, let's put it right, undocumented migrant in South Africa. So, yeah, fellow Africans. So, should we? You know, we should be supporting South Africa. It's our neighbor. That's our big brother. So we should be supporting Bafana. But yeah, there are those also. I saw some of the, I think people have some on social media, people from Nigeria and on those countries that, okay, now what do you expect us to do now when you're actually chasing and killing our people? Yeah. So, all right. Now, when you look at this, this is also a very historic moment. It's a historic moment for African football. For the first time ever, you know, Africa has 10 team at men's World Cup. So that's the highest number in the continent's history. So, you know, what are the teams that we have there? What are our teams there? We have Morocco, we have Ghana, we have Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Egypt, Algeria, Tunisia, South Africa, Cape Verde, and DR Congo. Those will all be, you know, representing Africa on the world biggest, you know, football stage. Yeah? So, yeah, the record number comes after this now because of 10. It comes because the FIFA expanded the tournament to 48 teams, So that's why we got the 10 teams from Africa. So, yeah, do we have, team from SADC here? Only South Africa, really. Teams are not doing here, doing not well in Southern Africa. So we have how many to Cape Verde, Copo Verde, it's normally referred to Cape Verde Islands. Where is it? It's West Africa. I think Cape Verde is West Africa. Quite a number from North Africa, Morocco, Egypt, Algeria, Tunisia. They're always there. Those guys are always there. You know, then we have DRC. DRC is not SADC. Is that ECOWAS? It's also, that's Central Africa. But where do DRC belong to? I belong to two. I think he is also part of SADC. Not too sure. Hey, Mike, be careful what you're saying when you didn't check it out properly. All right. Yeah, so we have DRC Congo there. North Africa have quite a big match team than West Africa as well. So Senegal is there. We have Cote d'Ivoire. We have Ghana. Yeah, we have quite a good teams that can actually cause a surprise. I mean, cause damage to bigger countries. Given also what we're talking about here today. So most of this are also players that actually live in those other countries that are not from Africa, that are not born or staying in Africa. So, well, as African, we have a very reason now to be proud. Our football is growing, of course. Our players are making their mark around the world. And our teams are getting more opportunities to compete at the highest level. Now, but while we celebrate this historic achievement, you know, an important question is also being asked. Who is actually playing for these teams? All right? Who is playing for these teams? And who is benefiting from Africa's football talent? So Africa has enormous talent, has enormous football talent. But who is benefiting from this Africa's football talent. So that's a conversation we are unpacking today. So make sure that you join me in unpacking that. So now let's start. Let's start first of all, you know, overall, how we look football in Africa. So for many years, the story of African football was simple. It was simple. Our best players would get discovered. You know, they get discovered, sign with European clubs, and those big salaries now, you know, African pay, you have arrived. And that was great. That was great. That was progress. That was the measure of success. How many of our boys were actually playing in Europe? That was the measure of success. But fast forward to today, and something has changed. It's no longer just about players moving abroad to play. Now, we are seeing something called diaspora players. You know, diaspora players. You know, what does that mean? So it means that when you watch those teams play, a huge number of those players have never actually lived in the countries they represent. And this is not typical to Africa. I mean, it's not something peculiar to Africa. So it's all over. Okay. It's happening, all over the world. Every country have players that are not originally from that country. But they have, you know, maybe their parents are coming from the other country. They had dual citizenship. Yeah. So that's what we see. A huge number of those players have sometimes never actually lived in those countries they represent. So they were born maybe like in Africa, for example. They were born in France, in Belgium, in Netherlands, or in Germany, and they grew up there. So they learned to play football there. And now, because of that dual citizenship rules, you know, they are suiting up for African nations. You understand? So now, and let's look at some numbers, okay? If you look at some of the numbers of diaspora players in some of the African squad, you know, as I said, always the numbers don't tell lies. The numbers don't lie. Yeah. Let's just look at some of the team. If you look at South Africa, Bafana actually have a zero players entirely. All of their players actually are born in South Africa. So they may actually be in Europe, playing in Europe and whatever the case. But they are entirely, the whole squad is born in Africa, born in South Africa. So, and Ghana actually has 8 players, Senegal, that are born and grew up in other country, outside of Africa. So, probably could be Europe, could be America, but most of the time in Europe. All right. So Ghana has 8 players in their squad, in their current squad that is at the World Cup. So Senegal have about 12 players. Cabo Verde has 14 players. Cabo Verde is a country that this is amazing actually when you and these are the things, you know, 14 players, you could actually feed, you know, the whole 11, you know, 11 players that are born in Europe, playing in Europe. They are just actually called up because of their dual citizenship rules. You understand? So Cabo Verde is a country that, if you look at their population, it's about 500,000. It's not even a million, I think. You know, it's not even a million. According to the World Bank, I remember World Bank, data of 2024, population is not even over 500,000, you know, people. So imagine, and it's at the World Cup. There's something in the end the country Cabo Verde is at the World Cup. So, as I said, you could have actually good players that you can get from Europe that are born in Africa who have a connection, you know, with Cabo Verde, you know? So you have Tunisia have 15 players that are born outside. Algeria, 16 players. Morocco, 19 players. Morocco, you know, that's now our... who is actually our... No, Senegal. Who is now our... who have now the cup? Who have now the African Nation Cup, you know? I think, is it Morocco now or Senegal? So... yeah, Morocco is the, from the, you know, from CAF, I think they are the one, they are the champion. So, but Senegal is the one who won. Yeah, so our champion, Morocco have 16 players, actually 19 players, 19 out of 26. How many players that we have there? 26, you know, out of 26, 19 players are born from outside. DRC Congo is the worst. 20 players are not from the country, are not born from the country, you know. 20 out of 26, that's about 80% of your squad. So, and DR Congo, 20 out of 26 players were born and raised outside of the country. So, and as I said, when you look at that, it's nearly about 80% of that. So the boys, so you think of this, you know, the boy whose grandfather boarded a boat from Kinshasa in 1975. Yeah, let's say, for example, in 1975. So that boy is now wearing the DR Congo jersey at the World Cup. His talent was nurtured in French or in a French academy. His wages are paid by a Belgian club, for example, and his taxes go where? They go to the European Treasury. And only when the national anthem plays does Africa actually get to claim him. It's only when we get to claim that person, that player. So now let me be clear. Okay. So let me be clear as well here that these players are not doing anything wrong, okay? There's nothing wrong. They're not doing anything wrong, okay? So they have every right, actually, to represent their heritage because that's their heritage. Many of them grew up, even if they are in Europe, many of them actually grew up with African values and in African household. Where they live is an African household, eating African food, hearing African languages at home. When they are at home, probably they're speaking their African languages. So the emotional connection is real, you know. The emotional connection to the country is really real. So, but the structural reality is something else entirely. So, and that is what we need to unpack this morning. So that is what actually we need to unpack. So, Now, the economists from the World Bank and the University of Bologna have been studying this issue, okay, the issue that we're talking about, and they have come up with a term called leg drain, okay? They came up with that word, you know, leg drain. Leg drain is just coined from, most of us know what brain drain is, you know, what's a brain drain. So brain drain is when skilled people leave their home country to work somewhere else. So Namibia know this very well. So we know this very, very well. So our nurses moved to the UK. We have nurses moved to the UK. We have engineers moving to South Africa. You know, we have teachers moved to Botswana. Eh? So we lose talented people, you know, and we lose the benefit. Now, the thing is that when you lose these talented people, you lose the benefits of the money and the time spent, actually training them. You understand? You lose the benefits of the money. you know, and the time spent training them. So when you're talking about brain drain, or now they coined this now leg drain, to the same thing. Now, the researchers say something similar is happening in football. You know, something similar is happening in football. So instead of skilled workers leaving, it is football talent. Eh? Now, it is actually football talent that is actually leaving. To look that we, like in everything, we just export raw. Eh? Eh? Now, here we export talent, but, you know, yeah. So instead of now, as we said, instead of now, as an example of drain, brain drain. So here it's actually what is happening now in football. It's now football talent. African produce some of the world best players. But much of the value created by that talent end up actually elsewhere. You know, as it's like our minerals. You know, we produce some of the minerals that are actually needed in the world. And the value created by these minerals, actually, it's end up somewhere else. So it's exactly the same. So the academies, scouting networks, and big contracts are often based in Europe. These are often based in Europe, not in Africa countries. The academies, yeah? They based where? They based in Europe. The scouting is in Europe. You know, the contract when it happened, where they happen, it's in Europe. Yeah? Yeah, let's take DR Congo for as an example. Okay. So the current Congolese national team is worth around 128 billion euros on the transfer market. You know, that's more than $2.5 billion Namibian dollars, you know, worth of football talent in one squad alone. So we continue this after this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. It's 8:30. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day. It's Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. All right, and thanks for joining us. You're welcome. All right, I was just explaining the leg drain. The leg drain, in terms of that Africa produces some of the world best players. But much of the value, created by that talent is actually end up elsewhere. And I was just giving an example of DRC Congo, that the current Congolese national team is worth around 128 million euros on the transfer market. Now, that is more than, if you put that in Namibian dollars, that's more than $2.5 billion Namibian dollars worth of a football talent, you know, in one squad alone. Okay. So now, but the researchers estimate that if those players have been developed in DRC Congo, through Congolese academies and coaching system, that squad could be worth about 355 million euros, nearly three times as much. Okay. So now the difference between the two figures, now about 227 million euros, is what they call now the leg drain. Okay. That's what now they call the leg drain. It is the value that never stayed in Africa. It is talent that was developed elsewhere instead of being developed at home. And that number get even bigger. So it get even bigger because the study estimate that worldwide, more than 20 billion euro worth of football talent have been redirected through this system, okay? Through exactly this system. And France, the country like France, is estimated to have gained more than 3 billion euros in player value because of this system. Now, let me ask you. Now, imagine you own a gold mine, okay? You own a gold mine, and every year you send your gold overseas to be processed and turned into a valuable product, okay? But only a small share of the final product, only the small share of final profit came back to you. You see that, eh? So only a small share of the final profit actually came back to you. Would you call that a good business deal? Do you think that's a very good business deal? And that's what happened, because that is the question being asked about African football today. Okay? That's what, because we our talents, there are so much talents that Africa actually sent to Europe, but you know how many of them that comes back? They take some of them like now become, you know, maybe they are playing for Belgium. Maybe they are playing for France. You understand? So that's mean that what the talent you have sent, only a small share of the final profit came back to you. You're not the one benefiting, because what is being done, so it's actually the value is, it's actually being, it's the benefit or the final product. The final profit is actually being it's being gained where these players are, rather than actually in Congo, for example, as an example that we have given. So that's an issue. That's some kind of discussion that people are looking at, that we're losing our talent, we're not getting anything. So now. So when we look at that now, maybe from our context now, because you might be asking, you know, this is about DRC Congo, Morocco, or other countries. What does it have to do with Namibia, for example? So it has to do quite a lot, actually. Yeah. So Namibia is a small country, of course, as we know. Our football system is, of course, it's improving. Okay. We're not where we were, but we all know it still has a long, long way to go. It still have a long way to go. And football is not the only area where we face this challenge. So when we're talking about leg drain, I think it's not the only area where we face this kind of challenge. So we see it in many sectors. Some of our brightest people leave to build career elsewhere. As I have mentioned earlier at the beginning, some of our best athletes do the same. Yeah? When they succeed, we proudly celebrate them. We share their achievement on social media and say, hey, look, that's Namibian making us proud, of course. And we should be proud. Mm? And we should be proud. But we also need to ask ourselves some really, really difficult questions. You know, how much did we contribute to that success? How much we contribute to that success? And we're looking at it. We don't just look at it in terms of money, how much we have contributed, but what opportunity did we provide? What opportunity did we provide for someone to succeed? What facilities, what coaching, training, and support system were available to help them reach that level? Because they go and do it in Europe. You understand? That's why the idea of leg drain is bigger than football here. Mm? It's bigger than football. So it's really a conversation about development. This, for me, leg drain, it's a conversation about development. Africa produces talented people in every field. But too often, the biggest reward are enjoyed somewhere else. The biggest reward are enjoyed somewhere else. So there are even, you know, as I said, there are because of their success in whatever sport, they are naturalized in those country. And we don't benefit. So we provide the raw talent while others provide the system. This is what mostly we're talking about quite a lot here. So we provide the raw talent while others provide the system. The system now that turned that talent into a world-class success. We are failing to turn that into a world-class success. So, as I said, we provide the talent while Europe or wherever, whatever sport code where the people they might find themselves, others provide the systems. You know, the environment, the opportunities, the facilities, the coaching, the training, the supporting system that turn that talent into a world-class success. And as long as that continues, so we may celebrate seeing African on the world stage, okay? But representation alone does not actually, you know, that representation alone, it doesn't build sport facilities that we need to create more opportunity for others. It does not improve youth academies. It does not create better opportunity for the next generation. Think about a young footballer with Namibian root, okay? With Namibian roots who become a star in Europe. I was trying to think of some of our current players in South Africa, but we're talking about in Europe. Who's benefit financially? The club benefits, you understand, where they are. The agent benefits, you know, and normally these are, who are their agent? The league benefits, you know, that league, maybe a German league or an English league or whatever they came. The government collecting taxes benefit. Where is this called? Where is he playing? He's actually being taxed. So the government collecting taxes benefit. And what does Namibia get? What do we get? All we get is pride. Oh, not as an individual player, of course, they may come back, put up some facilities or whatever, academies or, you know, like some other players come back to their, countries and, you know, yeah, but the rest of other things is that it's where he is actually where he's getting, where the opportunity has been created for him in that country where actually the benefits are. And most of the time we're getting only, as I said, what Namibia get? We get pride. Now, pride matters. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. Pride matters. It inspires people. It gives us a role models. We can see someone is our role model. It shows what is possible. You understand? But pride alone cannot actually build a stadium. Our club should have been the one that have benefited if we have created those support system. Agents here in Namibia could be the one who, he's not gone anyway. He's developing that skill here. The league would benefit. The government would collect, you know, tax benefits. So now it's not the case. So that's why I said pride, yes, pride matter, but alone cannot actually build a stadium. It cannot pay a coach. It cannot fund a youth academy. So, and it cannot help a talented young boy. Let's say, for example, young boy in Chicago who dreams now of becoming a footballer, but has no proper field to play. You know, he has no proper field to play on, no boots to wear, and no scout. There's other things. There is no scout to watch him playing and be able to say, look, hey, but if it was here, if there was a structures and opportunities like that, that could happen. And that is the real question I think, behind this debate? Okay? That's the real question. How do we move from simply producing talent to building the system that allowed that talent to grow, that talent to succeed, that talent to create value right here at home? That is the discussion. That is the discussion. So, yeah, and just when now, okay, as we're focusing on the World Cup, just when you think these stories cannot really get any more complicated, you know, there is another uncomfortable reality, okay, maybe that we can bring it in here. So this World Cup is being hosted by the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Yet, at the same time, some Africans are facing major difficulties getting into the tournament. So fans from several African countries have reported visa challenges, long waiting, you know, long waiting period, and uncertainty about whether they will be allowed to enter. And most strikingly, Somali referee Omar Atan, who was selected by FIFA to officiate at the World Cup, was denied entry into the United States, and he has been now ruled out of the tournament. So, and he was said to become the first. He was said to become the first Somali referee to officiate at the men's World Cup. You see? A FIFA-approved referee, recognized as one of Africa's best match officials, could not take part in the tournament because he was denied entry. And when you look at the players, yet many players with African root who hold European passport. These guys are holding European passport, can travel freely and compete without facing the same barriers. So African talent is welcome onto the world's biggest football stage, but are African always given the same welcome? We are not. Yeah, so African heritage is celebrated. African players are promoted as part of a football global success stories. Yet for many ordinary Africans, you know, traveling to watch, work at, or participate in this event can be far more difficult, you know. So, and that's the contradiction at the heart of modern football, I guess. All right. So, yeah. As we say too often, the flow of values move in one direction. The talent start in Africa, but much of the money, infrastructure, and long-term investment ends up actually elsewhere. So, and perhaps that is the bigger question this World Cup should make us ask. You know, how do we make sure that the country producing the talent also benefit from the success that talent creates? So, if you look at some of the of a European team, you will actually think that's an African team. We don't want to mention some of those ones. All right. Now, so before you come through, let me, you know, as you watch the World Cup over the next few weeks, I want you to think about a few important questions. You know? Yeah. Now, first is, and these are really, you know, take it to the depth of your thought, really, if I can say something like that. So first is African football really moving forward? Now, given what we have discussed so far, so is African football really moving forward, or are we simply relying more and more on players who were trained and developed outside Africa? Imagine DRC Congo have about 20 players 20 players that were developed, trained outside of Africa. Some have 19, Morocco have 19, others have 16, others 8, has whatever. So is Africa really, football really moving forward in that way? Are we simply relying more and more on players who were, you know, developed somewhere else? Are we growing or are we failing? Just think about that. Even the player that we take, where do we take them? The player that what does it do to our local development? So now, secondly, when a player from Africa, from the African diaspora now, chooses to play for an African country, is that helping African football to grow also? Think about that. Is it helping African football to grow? Or is it hiding the weaknesses in our own football development system? One can look at it as it's also that's actually hiding the weaknesses in our own football development system. So we go and take something that's already trained, that's already developed from outside Africa. Because we are failing to develop the talent here. We don't even have a national stadium. We don't even have a national stadium. So, and what would it take now? What would it take Africa to become more than just a source of talent? Because at the moment we are a source of talent. What would it take for young players from around the world now to come to Africa to develop their careers? Now, the other way around, what would it take? So we're talking about, we chest out, and why can't we do that as well? You know, why can't, you know, why would, and this is what I'm asking, what would it take also now for young players maybe around the world, you know, to come to Africa to develop their careers? What kind of investment that we need? What kind of leadership that probably that we need? And long-term planning would be needed, what we needed to make that happen. Think about it, seriously. So, and the whole question of diaspora that we're talking about, how do we then celebrate the genuine love that diaspora players have for their African roots, while also having an honest conversation about the fact that much of the money and development still happen elsewhere. It still happen elsewhere. All right? Yeah, and maybe, okay, something come to my mind again. Maybe the biggest question of all, if Africa can send a team, can send 10 teams to the World Cup, but children in our town and community still lack decent football field, for example, qualified coaches, still have those problems, proper equipment, and real opportunities. So then what is exactly are we celebrating? Think about it. Are we celebrating progress? Or are we celebrating potential that has not yet been fully realized? Because in the end, success is not just about how many African teams made it to the World Cup. Success is about whether that achievement create a better opportunities for the next generation of African footballers. So, and that is the question Africa will have to answer long after the final whistle blow, after the World Cup. All right, what do you think? What's your take? You can tease, go to any direction you want in terms of what we're talking about. 08333-66091. South Africa, Bafana, is kicking off against Mexico this evening around 9 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in. Make sure that you support, even they chasing us from their countries. Yeah, even there's chasing fellow African from their countries. All right? Yeah. So 0833-66091. So what are you looking for? What is your hope for African teams in the World Cup? Do you think we're going to, you know, to have an impact at all? Or the usual suspect or the usual, you know, the usual performance, we don't even go out of the group. Last time we did, actually. Morocco was out, Ghana was out. What is the other one? You know, Algeria was also? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm getting old. I can't remember everything. So are we going to get out of the group stage? And Hogan, even if we just get to the quarterfinal or to semifinal, that would even be better. That would be better. Oh, why would I say that? Let's just win it. Yeah? Let just the cup come to Africa. Yeah? All right. So 0833-66091. What do you think about leg drain? Okay? That's the topic. That's what we're looking at.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma onara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning to you and welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. Just to sum up what we, you know, just we, what we have been, what I've been discussing, is that, Africa has a record of 10 team at this World Cup. And that's a major achievement and a sign that Africa football is gaining a bigger place, on the world stage. So, many of this team rely heavily on players who were born, raised and trained outside Africa. So especially in Europe. So for example, most of the players in the DR Congo and Morocco squad, developed their football career abroad. So, and some economists describe this as a leg drain. Their argument is that while Africa produced the talent, much of the value created by that talent ends up, you know, elsewhere, just like our minerals, eh? It's exactly the same way. So they estimate that the global value of football talent redirected through dual nationality pathways, you know, runs into tens of millions of euros. Okay. So let's go to the caller knocking on my door. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking. Good morning.
Yes, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, Dr. Mike.
Disha makaran lompura pucha o wari ketanga I only wetanga wari wetanga geno nyengo kakoshike
ah wata wote ina nengo ketanga wote toka tana eh ai na nengo ila wote ko roga ala do gamba ke sistema
talenta dengero monare kako ita tokeri ayo ka
ah oh my problem yo wote ko problem ah but the problem we make it
Yeah.
Like me, I try even, just imagine, even now you are not good enough for yourself, that you see, but the people who can see the potential.
Yeah.
If you can go and play up to Black Africa, open very hard, it means there's a little of achievement.
No. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I also get up to Young Chiefs. I was also playing in Young Chiefs.
You see now.
Yeah, so
that is a challenge. And remember, then, for you to make it even to Young Chiefs, there are a lot of people who are having to compete with.
And we were in. I was also in the third. It's the third tier. Like you know, when Sundowns, I was in Pretoria University, and I happened to train with Sundowns.
So
in South Africa. So we were like. In the third tier, you have the second team that where they take their players
they
that
pitch.
Actually comes into the it's more like academies second.
So,
but
they,
then we were
like
the third tier for the main for the second for the academy. Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
We never. It was for us just for it was good because you were the facilities were better than what you used to in Namibia so.
That is what I'm telling you. Which, like me, ne, football, if it was no football, I think I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Even though now I know that in the academic I didn't make it, football teach me a lot. That's why I know a lot of the corner around Namibia.
Hmm.
We start from the where we are to Dana Nonima. The Grand Prix. You know this heavy one. Green
picture.
Yeah. At the way up and then umbo. And the those guys, they are wearing from Adidas, from the boots.
Yeah.
So you're in Messi, you wanna, whatever. To make it the meta ways, we come a long way, man.
It was there, or either etanga ironu.
Like our time, comparing it to Namibia, nothing much changed.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying so, and you know, Machona, they are wearing my shoes and they are playing soccer in Anofa Academy in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Well, because I like the game, and the kids are interested also. But you make sure that they don't repeat what mistake I did without following my academic achievement.
Yeah.
Kucha, tala ne kucha, Oh, academy, but you have to fork out your money.
Yeah.
For exactly. Everything.
Yeah.
Then where's the government now? Where's the Minister of Sport?
And that's a talent. You know, that's a talent. In some country, you have scouts that comes in and they pick up that talent. The talent goes to guys who said your money no vakwa ave show, you know? So the talent go to Europe and then it's developed there. Now they live there. Everything, you know, it benefits now Europe, not it doesn't benefit Africa anymore. Because you don't have the facilitate to actually develop and opportunity to create the career in Africa itself. You know?
That is what I'm always advocating, which guys, there's a lot of way to take Namibian high employment out of the streets.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to sports. Mm. I'm telling you, sports can do a lot in this country. But you will find individually, person given what? A fish quota. That's what I'm always advocating. Quota, guys, we have academy. We have a sport, I mean, clubs. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Now,
think of the simple thing.
Just for they don't have academy. There's no development taking place.
No.
Because people are not able to afford transporter for big players. And the game here you are having is these young people to take care of again. You see?
Those big players, they don't even have field where they train. If you look at the field where they train, it's absolutely horrible. Eh?
I'm telling you.
Oshakati Stadium, how Oshakufe Duranga Pike Fiku Oka Shike? The other thing is that even other countries that are actually doing the broadcasting right, you know, in Namibia, the football is watched for free.
Yeah? It's for free, yeah.
It's watched for free. But in South Africa or any other countries, actually, they are broadcasting rights. Yeah? And how do you then actually, where do you get your revenue to develop? Football or any other sport, when there are no really system that help to do that.
That is what I'm saying. Guys, I think it's our time. People who know how overthrow the play up. Man, don't know that the nobody is doing something. Man, I don't know why even Minister of Sport have to be included in the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think every white I do in school, then they must bring back the way we used to have the school sport.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we already presenting what? Angwena region, under 17. If Mbolani no good, why got to mix Wamwe and Oshana? I think, because we used to pick up Oshana. Hendrika, I don't know if you're now Hendrika. Where are you?
Yeah.
And that's the problem, I think. We have talent in Enova, which was not identified.
Yeah.
I think he's supposed to be somewhere.
Oh.
I don't know if he's still alive.
Yeah.
Machaka. Okay, it was kind of talented and they're having these tallest guys. Man, I'm telling you, the problem is Namibia, we still remain where we are when it comes to sport. That's why we are dreaming of even qualifying for World Cup. And then people are blaming even Colin Benjamin. Like, you blame Colin Benjamin. Where did he play all the qualifying game?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you are saying home game, but you are in South Africa.
Mm. So now you're going to go to Botswana. That's where it becomes.
Now you are just struggling to have one proper stadium with you. Qualify for FIFA for you to play go home game.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, just for fitness.
Yeah.
My friend, etanga lo on the regeneration. Do go Japan. Oku pushuwe kapa shop. Wete go. Don't manu alu wa la go dance for stadium. Mano monenge wa udanifa that's why I'm saying we are too far. The way we are doing things is like we are in the 1940 maybe or 1920. Because these people are too far from us. The way we are doing things and the world way is moving.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I probably, you know, which the idea that we're looking at up here is which actually may be coming a little bit of a discussion is that, yeah, you know, you see that because of the lack of development of football in our own country, we start actually taking, you know, players in Europe that have actually dual citizenship. Even if they were born, their parents could have been from mm-hmm. Ghana, but they were born in Europe. So much of them, we take the people that actually already has been trained, has been gone to the academies in those countries and been, you know, and they are successful in those countries. Those are the ones.
Michael, even before we go even too far, yeah. I think we are having 3 or 4 kids born by this and the Herero who migrate to UK.
Yeah.
I think one is in Liverpool, the other one is in Manchester City Academy. And we have one in Germany, born to Namibian again. And you talk about even some of them in Finland. Some even they start already representing those countries.
Yeah.
Because what people also, you know, for them to come back, unless we are not good enough. For example, Nyambo Wetuna. Nyambi was even stating that maybe England were going to select them.
Yeah.
That's why he represented only Namibia after England didn't take him. That is the problem I think we have. And we cannot, if you're not able to grow yours, why should you?
And that's the issue now. Yeah. Most of as I said at the beginning, I indicated some country, like now, DRC have about 20 of them, 20 of the players out of 26 is actually.
Even when you want to claim the what?
Yeah.
The glory.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that it's not your people. I mean, it's your people, they are somewhere else.
Exactly. So.
You see?
It's just showing something. It's kind of showing a picture of that we are not doing enough, you know, to develop our own facilities to create those opportunities of growing a career in Africa. So we're relying on the talent that African talent actually that are being developed somewhere else.
Yeah. You see, that's why I'm saying Africa, we never grow. That's a problem. Because the moment we do every aspect, wherever you talk about an industry, you are just lacking. And the way even we have the opportunity to do things right, like now what is happening to the world, the war, we never learn anything.
Yeah.
Look at Namibia. We are not even preparing for anything when it comes to our economy or we try even. Before people are busy the other side, at least here we're supposed to take a chance of that to use it.
Yeah.
But because now, remember, after they fail to win that war, they will come to Africa, including even Namibia here. But we never prepare for anything. We are just in the shallows.
Yeah. So I think this is where sometimes I said, even when I speak to some of my friends who are politicians and said, look, sometimes we just, for us to move forward, we need to acknowledge where we are. You know,
exactly.
We need to acknowledge where we are and really honestly say, this is where we are and go no problem. When you have a problem, unless you acknowledge the problem, it's only when you can start to work on that problem.
If you are ignoring it, it will just pile up and pile up. Just the way we are having this shortage of housing and now I see the minister of what? Prime Minister. You say something about, we have to, you cannot have people if are charged to buy a car for more than 5 years, and then what about the house? Those are things which always we are talking about. But I think now, at least, Maybe they are starting to recognize, but seriously, something needs to be done. And it's a hard time, I think, those politicians, they must start talking to people.
Yeah, no, but even when a person asking that way, they also have to look how economy works, you know. When you buy a car, the moment you buy it, it's already the moment you take it out of that it's depreciating, you know. And the value goes down every day as you drive that car. But the house, you know, the value goes up. You can also understand why it takes, but if the question makes sense, but in that way, also one have to understand how that actually works. Yeah.
And also have to understand also that, you know, the house, the why the mortgage have to be paid 20 years is because for you to bring the premium to the level of the people can afford it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you make it for 5 years, and it will be more expensive.
Yeah.
And how many people are going to afford it even?
Yeah.
That's why you have to bring the what is a Prime Minister maybe is about to come out to suggest. He said, no, the land price, you cannot build the way it is.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. The way they are charging it. That's where we are supposed to start it. Because the material and everything is very cheap.
Yeah, the way things are, the way how the systems are now, it's working for some people. It's just not working.
Exactly.
It's just not working for you, but it's working for.
If you lend the property owner, a developer, my friend, you are happy the way it is. You even wanted more.
Yeah.
No more house to be built.
No, nothing should change because I have monopoly in terms of how much I decide to what you need to rent, you know?
Yeah.
So but I know there's a lot of them that are in the queue. If you don't want, leave, you know?
Leave it, exactly. And then now, okay, Mike, go back to the World Cup. The thing is that now, when you look at the Tramba, the way is, okay, we can forget about the... All the problem Tramba causes the world, because now we are going to enjoy the beautiful game.
Yeah.
It's now they are trying to sanitize the world, so we can forget about the problem with Tramba cause in the world. Like now you are talking about the Somalian guy was rejected not to enter.
Yeah.
What does it tell you now? Is this a fake game with FIFA advocating it? That's what I'm saying, some of these institutions, and if you look, the way Americans, they have been handling, behaving in the world, why they cannot just even, not to allow America, U.S. to host? Because remember, Iran also the part of it. And the Iran, all the game of Iran, they are playing in the USA.
Yeah.
And to make it a meta West, Iran, they are not supposed to allow it. And even the players themselves, they are not even hosted by USA. They are in Mexico. Now, just imagine yourself. Every time you are having a game, you travel with an airplane, then you land to USA, and then the bus take you to the soccer field. After you play the game, again, same thing, to go to home. Man, it's not fair at all.
Yeah,
then now, then you look at the FIFA, it's like a United Nations, where the Mandula and then nobody's even talking about anything. In my say United Nations, FIFA, do whatever you want. If you know that the things are sweating to your people, change it.
Yeah.
To carry the trombone, I say, Bola, the Deco Pomala, WHO, Yashika, Male Bola, Loradi, Tesuko Mugger, Modia, Sima, and Napani Washington, and went Opota, trying to find the own man.
That's money for some other people. That's a business for people. So it's not just a disease. It's not just a disease. It's business. You know, that's you have to understand. All right.
Okay, shop me.
All right, good. Hey, oh, business, how could I, man? So that's a big business. All right. So guys, about the World Cup. So what do you think? What is your take? You know, your overall take and basically this whole issues that, that African teams, when you look at that, is it really representative of our African roots, if you like? Yes, it's African root, but you know, of what Africa is doing to create this talent that is being showcased there. Because the talent that is being showcased there is actually developed and trained and whatever in Europe or anywhere else. Yeah, not in Africa. So, and what does they say about our football development in Africa and all that? So, yeah. 0833-66-091. We're talking about leg drain. That's what we're talking about. So, very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking today.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, you want done in Getanga, no?
Oh, I already bet. Oh, I need to call it.
Hey, I so.
Oh, so you get carabad.
Oh, so on me get on your talent. I can't play on it. Yeah. Ikafirufiru.
Yeah.
Geno no moshike. Geno no ko. Ah, pefimbopo. So you kwa la tui longongone. You're not really in it for much of the times. You spend more, much of your study rather than on the football. Yeah. So, yeah, but the talent was there on our level, on the Namibian level.
yeah, I see.
So otherwise.
So national period there, I'm wondering all the name that far they don't consider all the name.
Yeah.
We mean Taiti, Getashia, Kokudana, Ko, Namandu, Undura.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kuchi Kenga, Hindu, and Kulinga, she is there, Mu. Oh, tonight,
yeah. What they were watching is Angwetu.
So, you know, that team, Intak team.
Yeah.
Oh, we competed with them.
Yeah.
At the Mungurume there. So imagine we guys from the village and those ones from the, oh, but we hammered them.
Yeah.
Just like Maduma was saying, sometimes you know you don't even have full boots, a different kind of t-shirt. For them, they were well equipped. The boots are there, the uniform, everything.
Yeah.
So, but I love soccer. We could play it. I think in winter that's where I enjoyed it most.
Yeah.
Because I was actually managing a team of those. What was it? Hearing impaired. We had a team of that, all of them. So, of course, it was mixed there and there, like those who can hear. But we were few. We were managing that and we were hammering them in winter there.
Yeah.
So, I think the soccer is money now. We did not realize that. So you see, the reason why South African sports fields are really upstandard. So one of my is because of that. So whenever you have a World Cup, if it is hosted in that country, you know how much money comes into that country.
Yeah.
The infrastructure, just like the South African one, they have to construct a lot of soccer.
Stadium.
And one of my friends who is a Namibian is an electrical engineer. He was telling me how they were constructing those things. Some of them now after the soccer field, because some of them were just constructed into maybe let's say suburbs and anywhere you could get a space. Some of them were now dismantled. They have to, you know, so that they could put some other new facilities, some malls and all the things. So now, because I know very, very soon, it's my hope that very soon those big tournaments will be hosted in Namibia. The only problem is that our market is very small. Most of those
very soon, I mean, without even our stadium is not actually started innovation.
Huh? Our stadium, you know, the structure that are there, they can just be really revamped and be renovated and, you know, and do a lot of few things there. Because the money that is coming, the money that is built, most of those soccer stadiums there in South Africa that we are talking for soccer, for the last time World Cup. It's not necessarily from South Africa. So there were a lot of big millions of dollars being poached in there from outside.
Yeah, no, no.
So for us,
someone see, I mean, those are investors. It's not really that it doesn't come from the South African government necessarily. Those are investors. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
Go ahead. Tell you saying that these are investors' money. So, and it's true. Fine. So once they do that, like us, yeah, if they drink, if we happen to hold, like we were trying to have it with the Botswana and all these things, we benefit our soccer stadiums and all these things, we get to the higher level. But the problem is the accommodation that we do not have, because most of these facilities, like you have Mbadu, you have all this of Sagati Stadium, they'll be hosting a lot of people, but where will people sleep? So we can't even have our own, those guest house or those camping site and all these other things. Where will the people sleep? So for us, we can now organize ourselves and look at those things. Maybe we now look at the area where you can build some, how do you call these things? The sleeping bed, guest house, what do you call them?
Yeah, all guest house, BMBs.
When people are playing this in winter, but they will also be sleeping in Osagatse, or they will be training in Mbadu there, or some of the games will be taking place in all over, in Angwena. So it brings a lot of money, and the people will be selling. But the issue is that we really need to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So not only in the sports facilities, but even just to organize ourselves to sell. People will be starving. Where will they get food? Even those small shops that we have in our village here. So people will not be cooking. People will, they want to eat those African food and all these other foods. Where will they be eating? Are we going to cater for them as hawkers, as traders? Those facilities we can't even be. That's why we think we also need to have that approach of village tourism that Mimitumbo used to talk about.
Yeah.
So you have those things. And so I like sports. So let's support South Africa. We know South Africa is our big brother. And the many other things will come here. So let's support them. And I wish, like last time when they were having, we were buying some, you know, T-shirt. But yeah, if it comes to South Africa again, I would just order a lot of Bafana T-shirt and those things. So let's support them and give them. But our children, and many times in our homes and things like that, we also need to let them be watching soccer when they come from their training. Let them, like Madume is saying, that his children is. So let's encourage our children to see the value of sports. So thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through.
Good.
All right. 0833-66091. And we're looking at questions like, you know, when player from Africa diaspora, born and grew up in France or Belgium or whatever, chooses now to play for the African country. Is that helping the African football grow? Or is it hiding the weakness in our football development system? 0833-66091. You may come through and share your opinion on that. Yeah, so, but after this, so we may go on to our second story. So stay tuned.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandito mwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Ikele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. kara omukwashilipaleki gwimwepo yomooprograma dhetu moambo dhengela Selma konola 8133765 Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back and good morning. It's good morning to you if you're just joining us. Where are you listening us from? Where are you listening us from? So welcome to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is happening in and around the country. So now let's move on. Okay, let's go to the caller quickly. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Ah, bom dia. Como está?
Obrigado. Como é ali?
Ah, estou fixe.
Estamos a falar futebol, né?
Yeah. Sim.
The reality is like our sport much need to be done.
Yeah.
We start with the Minister of Sport. Now you don't know if the minister love the Ministry of Sport or love the sport. One of two.
Yeah.
So this person just got there just to show off like he's a minister of sport, but does he love the sport itself? There's a question mark there. Because we don't see if the minister really loves the sport or just loves the Ministry of Sport.
Yeah, that's the same thing to every ministry, because sometimes you have people that have no interest or qualification in those areas that they are given. Yeah.
And that's a problem. And who suffer? The nation.
Of course.
So putting the wrong, sometimes I don't know. But if you look around the players who are going, migrating to be European, today they are shining there. Why? Because of hunger.
Mm.
You know, there's no opportunity in Africa. You're a player, just imagine a player play for a club. This guy his salary is 1,000. What this guy will do for 1,000, my brother? And the other thing which are killing us is jealous.
Yeah.
If you go to these small clubs, man, you see if this guy is having talent, if this guy can even put us to the second level. But this guy doesn't have a support of financially. Maybe this guy is a good player, but where he come from is far. This guy is a good player, doesn't have a potential for himself to buy even the uniform of sport.
Yeah.
And if this guy, you can see this guy is a good, but when this guy goes there to this club, there is already issue. They want to put the son of Tatemaiki, because Tatemaiki is well known.
Mm.
And that the Mexican doesn't know how to play, doesn't have that talent of this guy, what this guy is heading. What they also are putting us back is that jealous. If you go to those clubs, there's a lot of clubs with a lot of players who can do better than these players, but they will not even put it in. Do you know why? Because end of the year, I think there's a program on these clubs. They send some players to go to local clubs in Europe. Now, when that thing come up on their system, they already looking about who they'll put there, who they must go to America, who must go to Spain, who must go, you know, these kind of things. That's the thing which are killing us. We are really not the love of sport. We are just the love of Minister of Sport, but the sport we don't know. Yeah? If a player want to make me to do better, they go to those boats, they go in those boats, like to go to Europe, then they immediately themselves there like you know, without papers, even without papers. Now, you know, this guy, when they see his talent, they do everything for this guy to have paper to play for their club, like we have played in Europe now. Think about how did they win there. Yeah. Both. Because if you, for you to, you if you don't want to waste your talent, you put yourself in Europe.
Mm.
It's a better, even an artist, you know, in music. Now, if you think about all of these years, you never heard or you never know a player who played for a Black Africa, for Shakati City, for whatever. But this guy bought a house or is living better from this club. There's no one. No, how do you encourage me now, me, to put my son in this mess?
Yeah.
Put more money on it. Then from there we can speak our language.
So that's the discussion in terms of to say, you know, even now, our representative, most of our country that are actually representing us, most of the players that they have are not developed in Africa, you know?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They're developed in Europe. Or even if they are not born in Europe, many of them are playing in their talent are being nurtured in Europe. And the benefits of their talent is actually is gained is somewhere else rather than in Africa, you know, and that's the problem, as exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. The money, put more money. Let us understand football is all about uniting people, all about happiness, all about uniting our economy. It's all about, creating, a system for, you know, somebody who never had a hand on the card of, you know, selling the card of people. This guy got to learn. Gonna think about the business to grow, you know. You go, even the Kapana grow, but now we have just this hatred because the son of that Mike is playing the BCD. Now they are going to, you know, lot of things we need to do better. The same thing with speak yesterday. They think of the house, the price is too high. Why? The same thing with this thing, sport. We need really our leaders to but now our leaders when it come to the World Cup, when it comes to African Cup, is when they want to speak and say, well, let's see what we can do. How come you from the beginning, you never care about sport. Now the World Cup pumping up. Now you want to win the World Cup. How?
I mean, you just look into our town. Okay, we lose this. You just look into our towns and we, you know, the it speaks for itself. You know, sport fields are not priorities. And sport activities, sport, how does that, sport investment, if you can put it that way, is not really a priority. Even when it comes to within our own towns. So far, where are we? You remember when we talked about that, there was this money was given, it was budgeted, of actually building a sport field. In the constituency and also in the regions. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you this morning?
I got good.
It's
cold.
It's a cold in winter.
Yeah, it's
okay.
I don't know.
So,
it's mountain now.
Well,
what is
it? I'm going to go
the sport.
Yeah.
Sport in Africa, people, they don't understand sport. Yeah. I mean, they don't understand how to grow talent. So, it doesn't say when you are in Europe, your child is automatically like to play soccer. You have to be also a support.
Yeah.
You have to take your child at the early age to go to watch soccer. You understand? That is how you grow.
You also put in some resources, you know?
Yes, yes.
You're investing in the child as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're supporting what the crowd is coming from the community. And that is how the money make. So when you have two boys, you go with them. Yeah, it means three people supporting the what? Buying the ticket.
Yeah.
So that is how the soccer is making money. It's not that the soccer is making money by investing on, if you are investing on the soccer field, yes, the money comes back in from what? It's from the people that are buying the ticket. That's what we don't understand in Africa. So you are expecting the government to inject money on the sport field while there are no people that is paying back.
Mm.
So those are the things that you don't have. But if you look at South Africa, it's the same thing. South Africa, most of the people, they come from Moro and Nene.
Yeah. So that means that an investor can risk actually building a stadium because he knows it's gonna recoup his money, the money he put in, because it will be full every weekend.
So those are the things that you need to look at. You just say, and it has nothing to do with crowds. Yeah, I mean the population, or this is what you are talking about. You look at some of the teams in Europe. I was even talking
about Cape Verde. I mean Cabo Verde. Yeah. You know.
Yes.
They don't. Just about half. It's just about 500,000 people.
But they like it. They grow their own talent.
Yeah, but they're so the World Cup, you know?
Yeah. Those are the things that people, they don't understand. We like to complain things that we don't understand, to be honest.
Yeah.
Soccer, you have to be attracted. It's like a musician. You cannot just say, I'm singing. What? Maybe your message there is not making sense people to buy your music.
Yeah.
So that is what African, we can complain. That's a good thing to do. But to breed up things to attract millions of people, you don't do that.
Yeah.
So young people, they don't be told that you need to be like, oh, no. You have to groom them. You have to go there and you look at that young boy. He's already playing with big people. I want also to be the same when I'm reaching 18. I'm already on the national team. So that is, we were even having a good opportunity that was proposed by Eurocos to come and take our talent here. But in the street is dead. How can I taking a 24-year-old man, to go putting him on the academy with a 7-year-old boy. No, I want a 7-6-year-old boy that already groomed into like soccer. When they go there, they know already the prayers. That's what you need to know. You need also to show your child that who are those players that are on the national team? Who are the players that are on the clubs?
Yeah.
So here we don't do that.
There is this whole idea that I was trying actually to discuss today that has been also being discussed in Africa is also that when you have now the African diasporas, we choose that players from the African diaspora to play for the African country. For example, you have DRC have about 20 players that are not actually born in DRC, and now my issue, there's not a problem about that because, these people have a connection. Their parents maybe come from there or something like that. But the problem is that these people have been now developed, trained and developed outside Africa. And here we have, when they play for our country, that's a pride. It's a pride for us, and we may win, but it's also hiding. That's also hiding the weaknesses of our own football development system.
Yeah, because remember those diaspora guys.
Yeah,
we don't know them.
Exactly.
They cannot get crowd support from the country.
Yeah.
That is another issue because they are coming on the weekend to come and train with our boys here who are sidelined by the coach.
Yeah.
So that is also something affecting the players because they may end up saying, I will not be picked because we know we have already 20 of them that are playing in the
best leagues,
the division. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are also the problem. But I remember when Patrick Vieira were opening up a club, a training academy.
Yeah.
For 6 to 11 years old boys, he wanted to start it in DLC. Yeah, but because of now the investors that is in France, they end up also injecting him to open up in UK. You see now.
Mm.
So he's a French, he's a DLC, and then the people, give him first the license of UK. So now his academy is in UK. So those are other things that I'm saying. The attraction is also, you look at also the market.
Yeah.
Where the market, because if you come to Africa here, maybe the market is not good enough. You're taking up people's money to go investing on your career or your idea. At the end of the day, you lose. So that is also another thing that I'm saying. Yeah, kind of like Morocco and others. Yes, they can do that because of the there are people that is outside Africa. It can be, but it's not attracting others to be like them.
Yeah.
Because if you go to your parent and asking about the roots of that boy, you hear that, no, they went in 1947.
Yeah.
So after the Second World War. So those leave them there. They are our roots, but they have been there for years. So the child will not be attracting to playing soccer because of that. So that is what I'm saying. You grow your child to understand the role model, because we don't have a role model in Africa because of politics. So that everybody knows that he's well connected in to be on the national team. That's another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you, we are not talking about those ones. We are talking about people that are coming from the street. So like, this boy is for Brazil, this boy is for Ivory Coast. So they are like that. Most of the boys, they are coming from the deep Monda Ungirongwe. So they up to Windhoek, they come to Oshakati, just 3-4 months already in Grootfontein. So, because everybody's eyes on him. So that is how they end up in that. And when they are giving their testimony, is where now those young ones will be attracted. So that is how you're breeding up the talents here. Not, because and the other thing that those boys who are playing Morway, they need also to know that cash national national team.
Yeah.
Be the best on your own. If you be the best on your own, the crowd will choose you. You understand? So that is what we need to telling people, that the skill that you are showing, the coaches, everybody will starting attracting to your skills and making you the best player in the world. So that is what is the most important thing. When you are playing, whether in the school tournament or what, those all, when in a tournament, be the best. Winning those player of the tournament, be those ones. That is where you are chosen to be a best player, because they want those type of people. And we were having also, like as I said, to connect with the Ivory Coast, we were also having lucky to have Namibian Cup.
Yeah,
so it was also connecting regions and all of that. But people are not putting energy. So not only to say Namibian needing to put up money, also us, as a investors, by buying ticket, understanding also the fencing of the of the soccer field, so that we can put in $5. So no matter we're picking about 2,000, it makes a difference.
It does.
So those are the things that we need to understand if you wanted to be a part of that. But not to say, they are not choosing us, they are not choosing my child because I'm not too well connected. Your child is not playing the best. So that is another thing which you need to know. The best players doesn't really choose it. It's like a song, as I say.
Yeah.
When you go to the African Health Challenge or Idols, so you go with yourself, you don't go with somebody, you go with your own voice.
Mm.
And that voice is the one that is making you to get a ticket. So those are the things that we need you to understand in soccer. Soccer have nothing to do with the minister. No. Sport doesn't have to do with who is the ED. No, it have not that.
Yeah, but in the end, you disadvantage yourself. Whoever you as a coach or whoever the committee that's actually maybe asked to select or whatever, you disadvantage yourself. You're just picking somebody because you know his father or something like that. Yeah.
They are not incompetent. They are not different here. And yeah. Those are the things that the people they don't understand. So you talk, but if I'm asking you to do it, do not do it. Yeah? You don't do it perfectly. So that is why now, what is the difference between you and the other?
Yeah.
So those are the things that you need to look at. If you look at even in Kenya, how much, Mboma, you have now Mboma's examples there. So what if that Tata did? He do his best, and he finding the shining on top of the mountain.
Mm.
So those are the things that we need to understand, not only to say, ah, the soccer is not good. No, and it has nothing to do with population. It's so attractive. That is what these guys, for what Chola were doing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When they come on the field, they start to complaining. But when they were investing there, they were investing good.
Mm.
Because they were not know whether they can be one day on the primary. You understand? They were just attracting people and putting their money on. And it make them to go away. But when they come on the Premier League, they're starting to complain again.
Yeah.
And those boys, they're starting to run out. Ah, Tate, you are making money and you are not giving us anything. So you lose players because of that. You see now? That is what I'm saying. You need to understand things. If you are focusing on talent, lead about the talent, the rules of the talent.
Yeah.
The conditions, if you are reading those things, that is where you are. How now I share with this? The more I share with these boys, is the more we're making money. Eh? Because yeah. We end up in African, champions. Eh? We end up on SATAC. We end up on what? And we're making money. So that is what people, they don't understand. Yeah, Mike, let me know.
All right, man. Thanks for coming to me.
You're welcome.
Great. All right. Let's get to the second story. Let's do it there today. So the story says it's about the tax court, you know. Let me put this way. Have you ever had a dispute with tax authorities? You know, maybe you receive a tax bill and you felt something was wrong. You know, you try to challenge. Sometimes you try to challenge it, but the process seemed very. Sometimes when you do that with this, the process sometimes seemed very confusing, frustrating many times, and it stuck against you. Really, it just stuck against you. And well, I think that could soon change. All right, that could soon change. Because the government is moving ahead with a plan to create Namibia's first ever tax court, you know, a proper court with qualified judges making decisions, and not the current system that we have, not the informal system that has been in place since 1981. You know, and this is a major change. I think it's honestly a major, major, major change. No, supporters says it could make a tax system fairer and give taxpayers a stronger voice when they disagreement with the authorities. So they see that it's an opportunity where the system can become more fairer now, fair. And give taxpayers a stronger voice, especially when it comes to disagreement with authorities. And also you have the critics who are asking whether it will truly improve access to justice and who will benefit most from the new systems. So now, at its heart, at the heart of this, this conversation, it's about fairness. Okay. It's about fairness. It's about accountability and I think power and also power. You know, when a taxpayer and the government disagree, who makes the final call? Eh? Who makes the final call and who makes sure that the taxman is playing, you know, is playing by the rules. So, and that's what I think we can unpack in this segment. So, yeah, we still have a couple of minutes, and I have asked for few minutes also from Tate France. So now, let's go back to 1981. That was the year Namibia's Income Tax Act created. It created what is known as the Tax Tribunal. Okay. The Tax Tribunal. Now, well, despite the name, the Tax Tribunal, Tax Tribunal is not actually a court. So it is an informal system used to resolve tax dispute. So in simple terms, if you have a disagreement with NAMRA, for example, over your income tax or VIT, you know, this is where your case is actually heard. Okay. Now, but there's an important difference. Okay. The tribunal is not the same as a court. So the tribunal is actually led by a chairperson, not a judge. So it does not operate with, it does not operate within a formal court structure. So its decision do not actually create a legal precedence that guide future cases, for example. So, and it does not produce the kind of detailed judgment that help build a clear and a consistent body of tax law. Yeah. So what is now what is remarkable is that this system actually has been in place for more than 40 years. Yeah? It has been in place for more than 40 years. More than four decades, Namibia has dealt with tax disputes without having dedicated tax court. Yeah? So for more than 40 years. So in Namibia, sometimes we haven't changed anything. You know, we haven't changed the law. The apartheid system and all that. Imagine, we're talking about 40 years. We still hold what inherited from the apartheid regime. And if you look at this, and things have changed since. Tax laws is among the most complicated areas of law. You know, they are the most complicated areas of law. Now, in this way, it affects business, it affects investors, it affects employees, and anyone who earns an income. So the rules are often technical. If you have a dispute, the rules are often technical and difficult actually to understand. Yet, as I said, for 40 years, disputes have been handled through an informal tribunal rather than by judges who specialize in tax matters. So the question is, has that system been good enough? Definitely it hasn't been good enough. So if we come to where we are now, you can also ask, have taxpayers felt that their cases were heard fairly actually in that system? Have decisions been consistent and easy to understand as well? Have people had confidence in the process? That's the main point. Have they had process in the process? And I think this question has been raised for years. It has been raised for years, you know. And now the government believes the time has come for something different. Okay, the proposal is to replace now the old tribunal system with a proper tax court, okay? One that could bring more independence, greater transparency, and strong legal oversight, okay? To dispute between now, like the taxpayers and the state, okay? So, and that is where I think the debate really begins. So Now, what is changing? What is actually changing? The finance minister, Eric Tafuda, has announced that she will soon introduce a bill in a parliament to create Namibia's first fully fledged, you know, tax court. So, and this is not a minor adjustment to the system. Okay, it is actually a major change in the way tax dispute will be handled now on, you know, once that become a law. So if the bill becomes a law, the tax court will replace the current tax tribunal completely. Okay? So what makes the new court different? What makes the new court different? That being proposed different. So, for the first time, tax disputes would be heard by judges. You know, they used just to have a chairperson. So now, and a chairperson could be anybody. So now they would be heard by judges in a specialized court. You see, that would be one of the different, not by a tribunal chairperson, as I said, so, but by a judge with expertise in complex tax and of course financial and economic laws. So someone who should be an expert in those areas. So the idea is that these judges will use, these judges will issue detailed written judgment that do more when you compare with the tribunal. So that will do more than just actually settle individual dispute. So their decision could help explain unclear part of a tax law. And maybe provide a guidance for future taxpayers or business or tax officials or something, you know? So, yeah, the court will also then act as an independent referee, more kind of like an independent referee between now the taxpayer, you know? So between the taxpayers and the Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA. So, and that is a very important role. The independent referee, it would be a very, very, very important, role. And those who have been in this issue, have been under through this, they can tell you that. That's very important. Because right now, if NAMRA issues, if NAMRA issue a tax assessment, maybe that you believe that is wrong. For example, if you believe that is wrong and challenging that decision can feel like, how would I put this? It's difficult and even a battle. Yeah? It won't be like an even battle, you know? That's why most of people feel, you know, that's why when you have now someone in the independent referee that you now think, okay, it would be now an even battle because there's a referee. Okay? So the new tax court is meant to provide a more independent and a transparent process. That's a hope. So that's the hope. And on the other hand, it should help protect taxpayers from unfair or unlawful, tax assessment. But also on the other side, you also have to think of the government. It must also make sure that taxes that are legal owed to the state are properly collected, you know? So, yeah. And in other words, the court will have to strike a careful balance, okay, between protecting taxpayers' right and also protecting government's revenue. So, but before we celebrate, there are still some important questions that I think that need really to be answered. You know, the minister says the bill will amend the Income Tax Act of 1981, formally establish now tax court set out the rules for how it will operate and deal with what are called incidental matters. Now, I think that last phrase there may sound harmless, but it actually matters. What exactly fall under the incidental matters? Eh? So how much power will those provision give to government official or the court itself, you know? Or maybe the court itself. So who will draft the rules that govern the court procedures? Eh? So, and who will those rules be made available for public comment, for example, so that, you know, everybody can be able to see and have their comment on those. So, maybe the parliament, will the parliament examine them thoroughly, eh, before they are adopted? So, yeah, this may sound like, you know, some technical legal questions, no, but they go to the heart of whether the new tax code will be truly independent and effective, right? Good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike.
Okay.
That one is a dangerous game that they want to
play. It is.
They will sending people to jail, I'm telling you. Because that why I'm saying they were sending people to jail. There was a time I went in also on that issue.
Yeah.
So I went into getting a good standing in the revenue office there.
Mm.
And then they sent me to the direct.
Yeah.
Understand? So I was owing 11,000. What he said is that the option here is only to arrest you.
Yeah.
And it was around 4:15 there. I said, no, how do you expect him to pay that 11,000 if the bank is already closed? So let us agree that I'm coming tomorrow. And I said,
yeah.
So, and on top of that, the following day, 11 o'clock, these people, they are calling me already. Come to the office so that you can discuss the theme of and what. So I end up saying, no, listen, the issue here, I paid I paid taxing for years and years.
Yeah.
Almost income to 500,000. And this is a small company we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know big companies that never pay tax. This is, when had you paying the 500,000? I said, you look on my list, on my record. So they look at there and they finding they are owing me 51,000. You see now?
Yeah, yeah.
For 3 years.
They
owing me. They never even come and say, come and get your money.
Yeah.
You understand? But them, they are following me for 11,000. You see now, what if I were going to court for that matter?
Mm.
I would be arrested because I don't have 11,000.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's owing me 51,000. So they deducted their 11,000. They give me my 30, I think it was 38 somewhere there.
Yeah.
You see now? Those are the things that I'm saying. Don't play with law. The administration of that Nyoma, may rest in peace, is that there were no some of this. If he come on our hands, we'll arrest people. And if they want him to make it, tribunal is good because they are submitting the judgment.
Yeah.
To the revenue office, not to the police to issue a warrant of arrest. No.
Yeah, the critics is here that the tribunal chairperson was not a judge, so in that case they may have actually not knowledge of the economic and legal whatever aspect involve in this case. Yeah.
No, they are. Because they are be choosing. You know what they are doing when they choosing the tribunal chair or what is that person is.
Yeah.
They choosing, you submitted as a prosecutor, you submitted as a magistrate, whatever who you are, or you are a lawyer, you submitting to applying on that. You understand?
Yeah.
And then they bonding that, okay, we are choosing this one. He also a legal person, right?
Yeah.
Not to say, maybe wanting to give him the job to the judge, extra job to the judge, who have a title on his neck. But those people are chosen by the committee. The committee, the one that is referring, this one is better. Because he have a knowledge of this and that. Because when they are submitting according to their experience.
Yeah.
No. She just wants to make him more money on the tax. But she doesn't look that. She's also owing people. But she never come forward to say, maybe you are exporting something and we never give you your money back. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting something in Namibia here and you send it to Zambia and that the tax return was supposed to come back to you, right? You don't know that procedure. So you keep quiet. Yeah. While your money is still lying on that one day. You understand my point here?
Yeah. So you wouldn't feel that with the court that the taxpayers would have now confidence that their dispute will be handled more fairly, maybe more transparently and independently with the court, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Because we have no much experience on that, on the tax return taxpayer. You understand?
Mm.
We don't know much. So that's why in Namibia we see the informal traders. They are threat. They feel threat by the revenue guys, by NAMRA.
NAMRA, yeah.
But it's not that. You understand? When you are buying something, you are already paying tax. You need it back until it reaching to the office. You understand where it is?
Yeah.
So that's why you have to run first the public information that okay, this is what we are going to do. But if you just in Brokoto and starting opening up a court, Mike. You're sending people to jail.
Mm.
I have experience on that. And I can defend on that. That it's not fair. Because they've been with my money for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
without
and
even coming to you and tell, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that is, I have a proof on the court that it's a reality. And I know many people that are buying things outside, paying tax. But when they come here, if they don't have an agent who can criming those money, they will lose it. Oh, yes, but it doesn't say you lose it because it's on their cough. Any day when you come, you cry me, you get accidentally like the way I did.
Yeah.
So that is where the problem is. Tribunal, it was fine. I recommended that because they are judging and saying they are pointing guilty whether to you, to the taxpayers, or to the entity itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that is where I think the parliamentary must reject that.
Yeah,
let us protect our people because we don't have enough experience.
Yeah, I think that's why I feel that is something that it should be start. We should actually have a discourse already on this, and create that awareness already. People talk about it, and then in Parliament, really scrutinize every detail of it. Yeah.
Yes, and I think you need also to look. Please work on it. Get somebody better.
Yeah.
To today on Tuesday. One of the two. You're getting somebody who is understanding really, not even have experience. The person that is know he paying tax,
yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
They're not treated fair. Even the civil servants, they're also doing the same. No. This one is not fair because people that don't have much experience about what is really tax return.
Mm.
But them, they are focusing on paying tax. You understand? But on the return, they don't focus into look at how much money we are owing public. They don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming, friend. And for that, real examples that you have given, yeah. All right. Well, I asked for 10 minutes. yeah. So thank you, Tate France. Yeah. So even we haven't come concluding, we haven't concluding this. So, yeah. We will pick this up again. We will definitely pick up this again. It's something that we need to go into it. And really, let's have the last one that's coming in. A very good morning.
Dr. Mike, I think we can continue tomorrow with this topic also.
Yeah, yeah, no, we can.
Yeah,
we can,
because
yeah, we can
touch so many it. Can talk about it.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, we'll touch on it again tomorrow, yeah, yeah.
All right.
All right, you're good. Mm. All right, and that that brings us to the end. That brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. And thank you really for participating and for taking part on what we bring. The whole point of every program here on Eagle FM, it's really you. We do this having you in mind, and we also then want you to really be part of this. Be part of the whole, part of the discussion, enrich we only facilitate. We facilitate in a way that create sometimes, you know, asking questions or bring it, do some other research for you to broaden the scope of what is in the paper and for you now to, you know, to have more information and to understand. The only way, serious, and this is my belief, the only way we can change, we can transform our country is actually understanding. It's when we read, it's when we understand issues that are being discussed. You know, issues that, if we're talking about oil, do we understand anything about oil and gas? We're talking about green hydrogen. We're talking about, you know, the economy is not growing. What is the problem? We need to understand. That's only how you can engage, you know, into this cause. That's how you can be able to be part of the growth of the country. And if we are doing that as a citizen, definitely we're going to get somewhere, because we can be able to ask our leaders, in our local constituencies, you know, why this is not happening. We become accountable ourselves to account to those who are leading us. So that's very, very important. That's the only way we can have things done. The time is over now where we just let our leaders do whatever they want, you know, and the next time they come again and tell us, keep promising it. No, it's now the time that we take accountability ourselves. So otherwise we shouldn't complain when we don't have water, when electricity tariff went up, when we shouldn't. Yeah? So yeah, let me not take him up much time of Tate France. Tate France, I will hand over now to you. Please take over. I'm handing over to Wintuk. And from me, have a very, very, very productive day, so we have a country to build. So from me, Mike, all the best and support our boys tonight in the FIFA World Cup match that's coming up this evening. All right, goodbye and enjoy your day.